Hallelujah. It's great to be a clay pot, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it great to be a clay pot? Even with cracks and chips and bits broken off, it's still brilliant to be a clay pot. I want to really bring you a word of encouragement this morning, which is not like me. Somehow, for me, whenever I get words to speak in meetings, it's always something a bit sharp or, you know, something that's hard to say. Like the girl who brought the word there, that was hard to say. And you could see she was struggling to say it because it was hard to do. But praise the Lord, she had the faith to get up and do it anyway. If you turn to Ephesians, I want to just show you something quickly about you in Scripture. Now, you're also spiritual in here. I'm sure that you know that you're in Scripture all over the place. You're in it all over the place. I've got one believer anyway. And I'm just going to show you one facet, albeit a good one, of you in Scripture. So if we go to Ephesians, and we're going to start at the beginning of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 1. Very quickly. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. First, establish who's writing and by what authority. Paul, an apostle. Now, an apostle really simply means one who is sent forth. In essence, that's what it means. We attach higher things to it, but in essence, all it really means is one who is sent forth. And we know certainly that Paul was one who was sent forth. Okay? Because he's an apostle of Christ Jesus, which means he was sent forth by Christ Jesus. So there's pretty good credentials. Okay? And it's even better because the next phrase says, by the will of God. So sent forth by Christ Jesus, by the will of God. So we can't really get much higher than that. That's about the chairman of the board. You know, the fourth floor in the office block. You know, that's about as high as you'll ever. Okay, so we've established that this letter is written by someone with all authority. God's authority. So let's see, who's he writing it to? To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Well, if you've got an NIV, you'll see a little letter by Ephesus. Mine's a little letter A. And if you look in your little notes, it'll say, some early manuscripts do not have in Ephesus. Okay? Now, as a kind of a rule of thumb, the early manuscripts are perhaps the more reliable ones. Because as they're copied by hand in these times, you know, little tiny splidges could creep in. So we can say that this is to the saints. Quite legally, this is to the saints. And guess who the saints are? Amen.
Amen.
And it also says the faithful in Christ Jesus, if you've got the NIV. Of course, if you've got the other version of something, you know, it might say something else. But there's a little note there by faithful, a little letter B, which says believers. So we'll take both of them. We are faithful believers. Okay. So we've got this letter written by Paul, by God's authority, to us, the saints and faithful believers. It's getting better already, isn't it? We're only on verse 1. Who are in Christ Jesus? Okay. So look at this. Number 2, verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What better way to open a letter than to say to you, faithful saints and believers, grace and peace to you. I better get to my notes. Grace and peace to you. Now just receive God's grace, which you already have done, but there's more. God gives more grace. And peace is unlimited. Peace is without limit. You can receive God's peace in your life anytime you want to. From God to you, a personal little gift. Let's move to verse 3. Paul says, praise be to God, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Brian didn't know what I was going to speak about, but he's been through half my sermon already. Which just goes to show that someone somewhere around here was copying someone else's notes. It's just he did it on Thursday night as well, but we won't talk about that. Now look. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've just had an example of praise. And Brian brought something out that he didn't realize was going to be so important to what I'm saying about praise. Those in a put. I love the way he says that. I love the way he says that. He gets milk from a bull, have you noticed? Because he gets a milk bull. I love it. But those in a pit generally don't praise God.
That's right.
Now, believe it or not, one of the reasons they're in a put is because they don't praise God. And there is a lesson to learn from what Brian said.
Yes.
There's a serious lesson to learn there. Those who praise God are usually up in the heavenlies, right? The lesson to be learned is that to get into the heavenlies, you praise God. No matter what kind of a put you're in, to get out of the pit, you praise God. Now, in Roffey, we lead the music group, and one of our slogans is that we put it on all our little documents and things. We put a health warning on our slogans, on our documents. And we put, warning, praising God will seriously damage your problems. Well, if you'll only believe it, it works every time. Every time. Straight out the put. I'll never forget this sermon. So we're praising God. Why? Well, read on. Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every spiritual blessing. What does that mean? Spiritual blessing. Okay, well, that's what we're going to find out. This has blessed the socks off me preparing this, so I'm going to enjoy it, even if you all fall asleep. Now, look, in God's sight, where are we? You see, you're coming to a good place. You see, you're getting good teaching. A lot of places you could go and ask that question, and you'd get blank stares. And even if they thought they knew, they'd be too frightened to answer. We are in Christ. Okay. Now we need to look. Where's Christ? So let's turn over your page and go to verse 19. And sort of halfway through verse 19, we find a sentence that starts, "That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms." There's that phrase again. The heavenly realms. Now look, God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. We all know that story. God raised Jesus from the dead. There's a significance to that raising from the dead, which perhaps we don't think about. When God raised Christ from the dead on the third day, he accredited to Christ righteousness. The righteousness that Christ had and lived all of his life was accredited by God on the day when God raised him from the dead. If there had been one incident in Christ's life of unrighteousness, one, he wouldn't have been raised by God because he would not have been an acceptable sacrifice. He had to be the spotless lamb without blemish. And Jesus Christ lived his life for 33 years and a bit, spotless. Not just the last 3 years of ministry, he was spotless. And God's raising him from the dead was God's sign that he accepted that sacrifice. He took it and he accepted it. So there's a significance there. We have righteousness and we have acceptance because Christ was raised from the dead. And God set Christ where? When God raised him from the dead. Verse 21. This is where Christ was set. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. You can't get any higher than that. God took Jesus Christ and set him far above. Far, far above. Christ is far, far above Satan. No question. Christ is miles above him, at God's right hand. Verse 20 we read, at God's right hand. So where are we, beloved ones? Where are we? Oh, it's coming, isn't it? You can feel it coming, can't you? Go to chapter 2, and verse 6. And you want it in glorious green and blue in my Bible. Green for promises, and blue that says it's about me. Verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. At God's right hand. Far above all rule, all dominion, all power. Notice that it's past tense. God raised us, not will raise us, but God did, has already done it. 2,000 years ago, when Christ was raised from the dead as a sign of righteousness, we went with him. We went with him. God's right hand, heavenly realms. This phrase is coming up again in Christ Jesus at God's right hand. Every spiritual blessing. So we too are far above Satan. Okay? Now we're going to do a bit of Sunday school and you're going to repeat after me. Just so that you know who you are, where you are. And in a bit we're going to see what you can do when you get there. Come on, let's go for it. Say after me. I too am far above all rule.
I too am far above all rule.
And authority.
And authority.
Power and dominion.
Power and dominion.
And every title that can be given.
And every title that can be given.
Not only in the present age.
Not only in the present age.
But in the one that is to come.
But in the one that is to come.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. You're starting to warm up to this, aren't you? Well, I am. Jesus is the head. Verse 22. Verse 22, we see clearly that Jesus is the head. This is chapter 1. God placed all things under Jesus' feet, his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, which is what we are, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So there we are, up in the heavenly realms, with Christ Jesus, at God's right hand, far above all evil, far above all Satan's ways. That's how God sees us. That's how God sees us. I'm gonna draw it on the board. Sorry. It's giving these lectures, it's getting into me blood. You in the cheap seats won't be able to see this. Sorry. It's all right, we're going home this afternoon. You'll be free. Now, God sees us that way I've just described you. How do we see us? Right? Okay, up at the top here is God. Always at the top. And we have this lovely straight line, which is about as straight as a dog's back leg. It's not too bad. Oh, look, they're moving. They're moving the seats. Tell the deacon we'll have a committee meeting. And I'm from Pentecostal background, so yeah. Look at this. 100%.
Amen.
You can't. God never scores 10 points. It's 10 points or something. He doesn't do a Norway. Never. No, 100%. Okay. Now, we've just heard that we are lifted up with Christ. We've been raised up with him and seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
So, this is our position. If I spell it wrong, you'll remember it. This is our position in Christ. But look at this. Me.
You.
Me. You. You is made up of a lot of me's. Now look, from our point of view, we have a good day. Whoa, mate, whoa. And then, whoa. And, you know, it can, you know. Is that kind of something like you would Even if you don't say it, I know it is. That's the way we see ourselves. But you see, we're looking at our performance. You see, we look at our performance. Now, our performance varies because our flesh varies, our emotions vary. It varies. But God looks at our position. Every time, God sees us 100%. Why? Jim, Jesus in me. I don't really like that crusade.
Amen.
Jesus in me. When God looks at me, he sees Jesus.
Yes.
When he looks at you, he sees Jesus. So the performance doesn't matter. God's not interested in what you can do for him. God is interested in what he can do for you. And that's the important thing. God is a giver. A giver. I'll leave it on the board so that you can see it later. You who didn't have the bottle to change your seats. Now, which, I mean, it's obvious, but which one is the correct one? God's view or your view?
God's view.
Amen. Now, you've got that, haven't you? So God sees you at 100%. All the time, what he has done is accounted to us. This is what Jesus has done, is accounted to us, right? He's accounted to us. Holiness. God sees you as holy.
Amen.
There's faith. God sees you as righteous.
Amen.
Righteous simply means that you do what is right in God's sight. That's what righteousness is. It's feeding time. Wisdom. Ah. Wisdom. God sees you with wisdom. No, he sees you as having wisdom. That's right. That's right. And if you're beginning to falter at this third fence, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, and you're going to suck eggs for this one. It says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. This is because of God. We are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. You see, when God sees us, this is what he sees. What an amazing God. What an amazing Father. It's true. You're righteous. You're holy. And you're wise. Believe me, I know what it's like to not be wise, because I failed the 11 plus. For those of you who are old enough to know what the 11 plus is, I failed it. I have two qualifications to my name, apart from God's: a driving license and grade 2 theory of music that I got when I was 10 years old. It. So when you read, God uses the foolish things to confound the wise.
Amen.
It's good to be a living example. Now, there's a third thing we need to look at in this. We've seen how God sees us, and we've seen and corrected how we see us. So how does Satan see us? Now, this is something we don't think about so often. How does Satan see us? Well, Ephesians 1. For those of you who are smart and didn't turn the books over to, you're already there. Ephesians 1 verse 21, we just read it. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given.
Right.
Not only in the present age, but in the age to come.
Yes.
This is how Satan sees us. Because you know what the secret is? Satan sees Jesus in me just as much as God does.
That's right.
He can see, he's spirit. He can see spiritually. When Satan looks at me, he sees Jesus. He sees holiness. He sees righteousness. He sees wisdom. He sees trouble. He sees trouble. Now you see, if you'll take hold of this message and believe it and let it become part of you, then when he looks at you, he'll see trouble. And Satan's not the brightest of beings, not anymore. And when he comes to you, he knows he's going to get trouble. And he might come once or twice, but once he's had his fingers burnt once or twice, you know, he'll think twice about coming. I'm going to give you a little demonstration of that. I'm going to enjoy this. Sorry. Sorry about this, but Not everyone gets to do this. Now look, God is a big fella. Okay, and I'm only 5'8". So that's me, you know. I mean, doing something like this, a little sketch, you get to play the best parts because, I mean, I thought it up, so I get to play the best part. But I'm not very big, so I could have got someone who's real tall out of the audience to come, but that would have taken all the fun out of it for me. So I'm going to use a prop. Whoops. I'm going to use this chair, you see now. Look, if I stand on the chair. Vertigo. When you're on a chair, there's no vertigo. Sorry. They get worse, I'm sorry. It's the Liverpool in me. Now look, here I am, I'm God. I'm a bit bigger now. You can all see me, I'm God. I'm playing the part as best I can, Father. We'll say this is Jesus. This is a piece of paper, but we'll say, look, this is Jesus. Where is Jesus seated? God's right. It's my right hand. I've even got the arms right. See, it's God's right hand. God's right hand. Where are you? God's right hand.
Amen.
Right?
Preach it.
God's right. You'll never forget this sermon, I promise you. God's right hand. Now, far above all rule.
Yeah.
This is why I stood on a chair. See, I wasn't tall enough. See, if I'd have stretched my arms up from down there, the paper would have only been here, but that wasn't high enough, you see. But now I can stretch my arm up and I can get right up here, you see. Can you see yourself? Can you see it? Now look, the devil's only a little chap. He's only a little fella. He's only just one little fallen angel. That's all he is. And when he comes to you, you're up there. Not yet, woman. When he comes to you... Well... We weren't allowed into your meeting last night. Oh, come on. And I saw all the ghetto that was out there. You'll never forget this. So look, the devil's just a little fella, and when he comes, you're up there. And you can go, get out of here. If you want to give him a message, write it on your shoe. I can't stomp too hard because I'll go through this chair. It's bending now. Sweeter. Look.
Sweeter.
Look at this. In case you fall on it. Now look. Mr. Christian. Up there. Got my sword in my hand. Oh, hallelujah. Look, little. I'm sorry. She doesn't get to play a good part in this. Don't go too far over there. You see, nothing can snatch you from God's right hand. Word says that none can snatch you from his hand. So look, have a go. Come on. See, not a chance. But look, it's better than that. It's better than that. Look. Oh, dear. Oh, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Now, you could get to like that, couldn't you? I mean, not just banging your wife on the head with the Bible. I mean, oh, Lord. Look, that's what it means to be blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. It's simply that. That's it. You are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. I don't know about you, but I feel so encouraged now. And, you know. You feel like you could go out and crush a grape, right? Well, never mind the grapes. Never mind the grapes. Go and step on a few serpents and scorpions. Because that's where you are.
Amen.
And that's where he is. And nothing will change that. Provided you believe it. It's all there. It's in you. It's there. It's your mind. As long as you've got that in your mind and you hold that picture of her getting banged on the head. Oh, dear. Oh, no. I'll never live that down. Then he will never be able to touch you. And anything he tries to do to you will be so insignificant. Because you know who you are and where you are. That's you, 100%, at God's right hand. Satan's not even on the board, he's down. Now then, what are you going to do with a message like that? We don't need to say anything else. Enough is as good as a feast, isn't it? Besides, you couldn't follow that, could you? So, I think, Carol, you can come and sing. This is end of sermon number 2. Take it. Believe it. You've laughed about it. And when you laugh about something, it sinks in.
Amen.
Praise God that he gave me a sense of humor. But remember, God created me with a sense of humor. So God's probably got a great sense of humor too, right? He wasn't born in Liverpool, so...